Grace, mercy, and peace to you, dear brothers and sisters, who long for the final revealing. In the meantime, notice how the gospel has now gone from childhood. The Jews were the special people set apart by God to bring the gospel in Christ, and now it's going into adulthood, out into the whole of the world. Epiphany is described as God's salvation for all people revealed in Christ Jesus. But not everybody feels that way. When I was at the seminary all 4 years, I ended up working in cross-cultural ministries in downtown Milwaukee. That means that I was in black areas of the community, 100% black. And my vicaring was at St. Philip's, down at First and Locust. It was a 97% black congregation. Mine and another family were the only whites. I found it interesting that one of the members of St. Philip's himself, not a white person, had a prejudice against his neighbors. My evangelism partner was Jill. She went out one time a week with me. I was out 3 times a week as a vicar to do evangelism calls, out on the streets, out into the neighborhood. There was an apartment complex not too far north of Jerusalem, which some of you might have known down in that area. And as we were walking by his house, we decided to go up and chat with him a little bit. And when we did, we finally came to the question, well, what are you doing out on the streets, vicar? And I said, well, we're going to share the gospel out here in that apartment building. And he immediately bristled and said, don't waste your time. They don't want the gospel. Interesting. Now, you have to always understand that there could be family or business bad blood. It causes a feeling like that. And in fact, he would mention that there were drug dealers in that building. But it was the people that we were going to that he seemed to know, and that was the comment. It was about one family, and I knew that they weren't in illegal position with the government, and I wondered what his point was. We tried to set him straight a little bit, but we were kind of caught speechless in a way. Can you see why I was a little bit taken back even as a future preacher? We are glad to be appointed for life. I want to look at this Acts chapter 13 and grasp what's happening to the world as the gospel goes out through the Apostle Paul. Of all the people he would choose, the direct enemy, the one who helped to put Stephen to death, and himself had to be completely turned around. We call that 180-degree metanoia, the Greek word for repentance and conversion. Paul, the enemy, had become Apostle Paul, the sharer of the gospel. God's salvation is for all people. I'm glad God didn't consider me a waste of time. He must have known that someone like me needed the gospel all the time, every day, in the office, in personal study all the time, because, my goodness, I wonder what I would have been without being a pastor. I don't want to know. And I will tell you, from the littlest time on, I was given the privilege not only of baptism, but of regular worship. It was a part of our fabric. But I have also come to appreciate how an outsider can cherish the gospel when they finally hear it, when they finally get relief, and it becomes the good news that they never had. Today, there are so many divisions among people. Some of those are color. And I tell you, after those years in seminary downtown, I didn't see colors anymore. Rich and poor. Political persuasions, and boy, do people push on those boundary lines. You know, there's only one division that God really cares about, the division between him and all people, the division of sin and death, which has been countered by the life of Jesus. Jesus erased the divisions between God and man. It took the sacrifice. It took death on a cross. It took God's own Son invested in our world, which is where we now go beyond Advent, and the wise men come to see why was Jesus so special. He's so special because he didn't write anyone off. He didn't think any of us, including you, were a waste of time. Salvation is for everyone. Paul and Barnabas are at Pisidian Antioch at this point, and as they move up into Asia Minor, they followed the same pattern always, and they never stopped this all the way through the book of Acts. In fact, as far as I know, it was the normal tradition to go to the synagogue first. Where were the Jews gathering? And as they did, they would share the gospel, they would invite people back again, and usually from that nucleus, some would become angry and others would reach out. In this particular town, Philippi, there was quite a bit of contrast, but there was a hunger. They would eventually get thrown out, thrown in jail first, and then run out of the town. But before that happened, most of the city turned out. Can you imagine if most of Grafton came to worship this morning? You'd have probably complained you had to park too far away. What's going on at church? Well, there's, you know, a preacher. I don't know. Well, what does it take to get them all here? Do we need a Mark Jeske or, you know, or somebody like that to come? Well, at the time, because Paul had become rather known, the enemy preaching now for Jesus, the whole of the town turned out. And the Jews, to whom he had brought the gospel, began to abuse him. And they contradicted boldly against him, and so he responded boldly with the word of God. Notice that it is the word of God that they speak. In fact, in the surrounding context, it's four times that it comes out. The word of God is honored. The word of the Lord spreads. The word of the Lord works faith. The word of the Lord brings salvation. So the concentration of their ministry was on sharing the word of the Lord. But even after that bold speaking, there were Jews who were going to push it aside. Push it away. Their very purpose was to stand there and contradict the preachers, to make life miserable for them. And indeed, I've actually seen that happen when the gospel goes out. There are people who will call it into contrast and make it as difficult as possible for people to do their work. We run into it in missions. Sometimes it's a local government that won't give permission for building codes. Sometimes it's literally in your face, we don't want you Christians in our neighborhood. Often the reason for the people in the inner city that they didn't come was that they felt like the other side didn't get them, couldn't speak their language. Like they were on the other side of the river with no bridge. And when somebody finally came across the bridge, they were curious. So the Gentiles in Pisidian Antioch were in fact curious where the Jews were angry and they had no one else to blame. It was they themselves that rejected the gospel. In fact, these were the religious people, the active people. They were the people who had all the spiritual advantage. They came from the honored family of Abraham with all of its promises. They had generation after generation after generation of truth. But somehow, the truth of the message about Jesus and his arrival would be lost. And you know, isn't that a big danger for us too? I guess there's two sides the pendulum can go to. One is that we think we are worthy of the gospel, and no one is. And then on the other side, it might be that we pushed away so hard that we no longer feel worthy. That might be the kid who was taken to church every single Sunday his parents said, yep, you're going to church. And he said, when I'm out of here, I'm not going to go anymore. Okay. But you know, building that concept into a person can leave the residual there, either of anger or of a spirit of longing. There are many people who push away in high school and college, and later they come back because the seed of the gospel has been planted in them. In fact, sometimes when you ask them the question after they've had their youthful rebellion, they will say, but I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of coming back to church. And I think then that's the right place. Then they're in the right place. Because maybe when they were growing up, they didn't understand how unworthy we all are. It doesn't matter, does it, if you're in church every single Sunday? That doesn't cut it with God. It's what's going on inside the human heart. It's the relationship with the good news, with the sacrifice of Christ, the thankfulness. And it really wasn't until I got all the way into the seminary that I began, by the power of the Word of God, it was just the immersion in the Word of God, to really appreciate that. So I'm going to encourage you to stay close to the Word of the Lord. I have a person that came in the first service that just insisted on that when I came to this ministry. And I will tell you that at times, it frustrates me that we can't have the Word of God more centrally located. In other words, get it to more people in our congregation. We don't have enough Bible studies right now. We don't have the bandwidth. I don't. I can't offer all of the really attractive studies and get, I just can't cover that much ground, carry administration, and do the soul seeking, the shepherd work that needs to be done. And so, you know, a concern of mine, of course, here at Our Savior is that we're probably already on a low level of maintenance. We're not in growth mode. We can't challenge one side of the ministry over and against another, or pretty soon, you know, we will eventually have this concept that only the good people go to church. But then there's the other side. When you've done the weighing and you feel like you aren't worthy, then go to the cross and recognize what we go to when we receive the Lord's Supper. The Christian questions ask us to examine our heart. Am I a sinner? Do I need a Savior? And the answer is always yes. More now than when I was younger. More now as I get closer to eternity. I need the body and blood of Christ. I need the cross. And when we start to weigh ourselves against others, the light of Jesus is going to show us all over again. We're all the same in God's eyes. We are dearly loved. He expended the greatest gift ever given. And it doesn't matter how you look even at the kind of Christmas that you had. You could have been sick all the way through and maybe had the best Christmas. I talked to a couple people who were sick mostly, and they had the best Christmas ever because they said, all we did was read the scriptures, sleep, and talk. And it was actually very good for them because they were devotional about the season. You see, that's what happens. You don't want to praise the preacher. You want to give the glory to God, because like Paul would say, it was only a work of grace. He will call himself the worst of sinners, and God put his gospel on display in me, as he writes to Timothy. Notice how it's God bringing the success out of failure. In the 1930s, there was a woman who decided to do a twist in her own kitchen. You would be amazed that it could happen so, you might say, haphazardly, just accidentally. She had a recipe for cookies, butter cookies, that came all the way back in America from the Revolution times. And it was very famous in her family. She decided, what if you added chocolate and made chocolate butter cookies? So in order to get that done, she chipped up a bunch of chocolate, put them in the butter cookies, and cooked them. She expected them to come out completely brown, all mixed together. She expected that the chocolate would melt, and it didn't. You know what she created? Chocolate chip cookies that are my favorite by far. It's chocolate chips and butter cookies is what it is. Oh my, what an accidental success, or call it a successful failure. Why were the Gentiles flocking to this place of worship? Listen to this once again. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. We went to the synagogue. Since you rejected and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. This is what the Lord had commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Maybe it was because they had a measure of respect for the Jews, that the Jews had laws and customs that made them a good people, very responsible, very prosperous. Or maybe it was that their religiosity showed that there was something other than us. And I do see that. That many people, when they're in the middle of raising children, all of a sudden feel there's a deficit. There's something I can't give my children that they need. And maybe it was just answers to questions. Here was somebody that was actually answering the questions that they had. And when they heard the answers to what happens to us when we die, what is the meaning of life, how do you know that there is a God, and which is the right God, these searching Gentiles came to God as failures. You are going to watch God unveil the future of the church, because wherever the Apostle Paul went, the word of the Lord spread. Not because of Paul, but because of the witness that was given along with him. This is how he expresses it. "I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Eternal life wasn't something they did for themselves. It was a gift. It was done for them, provided for them. So, after 55 years of existence at our Savior, as we start into a new year, what's our new year resolution as a congregation? Are we a success? I'll answer it first by a story, and then, of course, I will say yes, by God's grace. A congregation was going through some changes, and they decided to take some votes. The congregation had exactly 100 members in it. And so the first question was, are we still going to proclaim the Word of God every Sunday, every Bible class, in all of our ministry, that the Word of the Lord is the truth? 100 people said, yes, we believe that. The second question was, are we going to, as a group, continue to do regular worship? Everybody nodded, and then the question was, are you going to be regular in worship? Well, after a little bit of discussion, a couple people backed away, and only 40 of the 100 said yes. And then the third question was, if there's a Bible study on Sunday, will you come? Will you spend time? Will you set aside special time to enter into the Word of God? Now, I'm not saying you can't do this at home, but only 13 of the 100 said yes. It's not an actual congregation. It's the statistics of our Savior and of our church body. We worship less than 40% of our membership. Less than 15% come to Bible study. Now, again, I'm not saying you can't get the Word of God elsewhere, but so very often people tell me they're doing it, and I would ask the question, because I'm a shepherd, I'm not exactly a pushover. I'd ask the question, are you really? Are you really digging in? Are you really getting as much as you say you are? So sometimes the lack of the enthusiasm we have for God's word maybe turns into a lack of initiation or initiative to go out with the gospel message and share it with someone else. I will tell you this honestly, that it is the newer Christians who are on fire to share it. And it's because they have such an appreciation. And the only way you can have that if you're in the church for a longer time is by getting regular in studying, reading, meditating on, and memorizing Scripture. Because that's the relationship with God. And so, is our church a failure? By no stretch of the imagination. Not at all. By the grace of God, the church has throughout centuries had its ups and downs. There will be times when in missions we'll have to close one to open one. We have to take away funding here to give it over here. And that just is good sense. And you know, when it says, all who were appointed for eternal life believed, that the Gentiles were glad and they honored the word of the Lord. It's like Christmas. At Christmas, the gift is given, but it isn't the recipient that gets the glory and honor, is it? It's the giver. If it's perfect, if there's generosity, the recipient doesn't say, well, look at, I'm so good, that's why I got this gift. It's, thank you, Grandma. That's just what I wanted. And ultimately, this gift is salvation for all. God brings success out of failure. It is such that there are going to be people, there will be people, and it's sad, that will reject the gift of faith, and they will bear the blame. But you know what? Just because it's rejected by some doesn't mean that it won't be planted in and given to others. I'm amazed by the reports that are coming out of the world ministries and by the tangential ministries, sometimes the side ministries that our church does. We're a little bit flatline in America in terms of missions and outreach and growth. But in world fields and in special, unique fields, the growth is exponential. Salvation is for all. Don't give up on those neighbors. Don't give up on those neighbors. Keep praying for them because it's worth your time. It's worth God's time, isn't it? Because we are glad. We are really thankful that we have been appointed for life. And when you have that understanding of what has been gifted to you, then it's easy to give glory and honor to the giver. Amen.